Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure, as always. It's like a dream come true for me, ladies and gentlemen, to be able to spend some time with you. And I know you feel the same way, don't you? You tell me that all the time. And I'm excited about having our good buddy Dave Anderson back on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Dave is an outstanding small business person. He is ran his own companies for years and was very successful. And now he's an entrepreneur, a columnist. He's a speaker, a trainer. He's helping people all over the world to do things more entrepreneurial. His books are a number of books here. I'm holding four of them in my hand right now. And the last one is the second edition of his first book, which I believe was his first book, Up Your Business. And that's 7 Steps to Fix, Build, or Stretch Your Organization. And then I always add my little quote there, without creating a casualty list. He's our good friend Dave. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. It's great to be back. Thanks.
It's good to have you back. You don't mind me adding that last little part to your subtitle there, do you?
I think we should have put it in there.
Without creating a casualty list. That's one of my goals in helping small business owners is to help them to do things better, to grow their businesses, to be smarter, to have more fun, to get more out of life, to make their employees happier and their families happier, and to try to do all that without creating a casualty list. It can be done, can't it?
It can be done. And small business people work so hard and their hearts are in the right place, and you know, they've got sometimes odds really stacked against them, and
all the time.
You know, any tool that you can put in their hands that helps a small business person become more successful is rewarding. And as you say, to do it without the casualty list is 10 times better.
You know, Dave, I'm looking at both of your books here, the Up Your Business first edition and now the Up Your Business second edition.
Right.
And I'm noticing a couple of things that are different. The covers are different.
Yes, yes.
There's a lot of new stuff inside.
Yes.
But I'm noticing also the photographs are a little different, Dave.
Well,
I'm noticing the photograph in the first book. Your hair's a little darker than it is in the second book, Dave.
Well, there was a little more of it, too, I think, if you look close.
Now, see, this is a conversation I can't have with the women in my brain trust.
No.
They won't let me go there. But
they wouldn't go over.
But you and I can have a little fun with that. You won't be surprised to know that my hair is a little grayer than it was, too. Dave, what do we need to know about 21st century ways to fix, build, and stretch our organization?
Well, you know, it almost sounds cliche to say, but you really, really have to get back to good business basics and put more focus on the people that you're bringing on board. I don't care if you have one employee, 2, 3, whatever. I see a lot of organizations spending money on training. They send people to class. They try to motivate them. They throw bonus programs at them. But quite frankly, Jim, if it's not the right person to begin with, if the person doesn't have something that they're bringing to the table, your results are going to be very mediocre. I don't care what your vision is. If great dream with the wrong team is a nightmare, it's not going to happen.
Are you seeing any challenges that managers are having out there, owners are having out there, in bringing the Gen X folks, the younger generation, the Gen Xers, bringing them into the organization? Are you seeing any heartburn there?
Well, I do. I see the same problem that churches are having, bringing these younger people into their organizations. They're old school. They're command and control. They're not any fun. They're not flexible, you know. And I see the same problem in both places. And we can still get a lot out of these folks if we will, you know, set clear expectations, give them some discretion. These people are bright. Yeah, they're a little quirky, some of them.
And they, are they, you know, I saw a a study the other day that said that they're pretty, I think narcissistic was the rude word that they used.
Well, you know, I see.
Now, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the report said that.
Okay? I know it. I saw the same report. And I wouldn't argue with some parts of that. You know, it's like you could look at any generation and say that about some of the people that are there. You could look at the generations of people we have in Congress, and you'll find a lot of narcissists in there as well. And those certainly aren't Gen X people.
Oh, I think that's where it originates from, from Congress.
You know, we just hired two of those Gen X people in our organization. And I'll tell you, they bring something to the table.
But they, you know, they're motivated differently than you and I were, though, aren't they?
Well, they are. You know what? They like to they like to learn. They like to tinker. They like to get out of the box a little bit. Don't put these people in a box. And some of them, they've got their right brain in gear. I mean, these guys come up with stuff I'd have never thought of on my own. You know, I'm in this old dinosaur box in some areas of my business, and they've opened my eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Stand by, Dave. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Dave Anderson is our guest. It's the second edition of Up Your Business, revised and expanded. And that's what we're talking about with our good friend Dave Anderson. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm not new and revised. I'm still the old guy. Stay with me.
When the man steps right up to the microphone, say that it lasts just as the time bell rings. I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Welcome back, and it's 17 till, and we're rocking and rolling with our good friend Dave Anderson. That's the Godfather of Soul, bringing us back. What a legend he is, and our good friend Dave Anderson is a legend as well, out in California, the great western part of this world. His book is called Up Your Business. Dave, give us the website, please.
Yes, it's learntolead.com. Just spell it out like it sounds, right. LearnToLead.com. A lot of free training articles on the website, too, Jim.
Check it out when you get a chance, folks. And Dave, we're talking about growing your business, and we were just talking about the generational thing, and I brought that up. I don't know if that's something that interests you, David. It interests me because I have a lot of people. I'm hearing a lot more and more people talking about it. In fact, here's what's interesting. I'm hearing some people talking about it who are in that generation.
Isn't that interesting?
Gen X managers talking about their own generation.
Right. I can believe that. I can believe that. You know, it's interesting. It's a great time to be in business because there is so much going on. There's so many opportunities. The internet and all has changed everything. But you know, when you really look at it, it still goes back to exactly what you're talking about. How do you motivate this person? How do you set expectations for this person? How do you train this person? How do you connect with this person? How do you enroll this person in your vision? You know, anyone from any generation, those business basics are going to have to be addressed.
Well, you know, another thing I think that we need to pay attention to when we're working with the younger generations, Dave, is that if we're getting some resistance from these folks, maybe they're reacting to us, and is it possible that our customers are reacting the same way?
Well, that's a good point.
Maybe it's us who have this, you know, we put up some kind of a barrier or some kind of a, I don't know what it might be, some kind of a sign that maybe it's not just employees, maybe it's customers as well. And you know, around here we have four different generations represented in my company who are, you know, employees in this office. And whenever we make decisions around here, we go around the horn and see how it fits each generation. You know, I actually say to them, all right, if you know, the people who are your age, what do they think?
Exactly. You know, and it's healthy. That's a very healthy culture that you have. One of the things that I talk about in the book is to encourage some dissent in these meetings that you have, because the old my way or the highway, don't get out of that box. If I want your opinion, I'll beat it out of you. That type of mindset is such a turnoff, and you miss good ideas, and good ideas become great ideas when they're challenged.
Well, that's the dominator model you're talking about, and that's a 20th century model that hasn't worked for a long time.
It hasn't, and I still see people that have pledged allegiance to that model. And I spoke to a group just yesterday in Orlando that were still under this very hierarchical, you know, tight structure type of deal, and they wonder why they can't attract good people or keep good people. But, you know, we have to one thing I have found is that when you sit in a meeting and you say, look, here's what I'm thinking. Now, shoot some holes in it. What am I missing? You know, what should we do better? And you just open it up. You start to get buy-in and you get ownership. But if you're always dictating and you're shutting people down, one thing very common is an employee will bring a boss an idea. And the boss will say, well, that's a good idea, but why don't you also do this? Why don't you also do that? And see, that seems almost natural. But what you do is you might improve the idea by 5 or 10%, but you end up cutting the commitment by 40 or 50% because it's no longer their idea.
Well, one thing I'd like to recommend to employees who are listening, and employees do listen to our show, Dave,
yes,
and that is don't take your boss a problem without a solution.
Well, there you go.
If you've got something on your mind, your mind, it's okay to bring it to the boss, but don't do it until you've thought about it enough to offer a solution. Even if you're pretty sure your solution won't be the one that will be used, at least bring him or her something.
Well, that's great advice. I wrote an article for a magazine one time called 9 Differences Between Winners and Whiners. And one of the differences was, you know, the whiners run around and find everything that's wrong and bring it to you. But the winners will also find out what's wrong and bring you potential solutions. And that's what we're paying for. That's what we're looking for.
Well, and the next step then, Dave, is for the person to get to the point where the boss gives them the authority to make a change on their own, to take initiative. They see something wrong, they come with a solution, they fix it, and if they fail, they know the boss is not going to fire them. They're going to say, what did we learn?
Well, one of the expectations I talk about, and it ties right into what you're saying, is I expect you to take shots even when you miss. You know, you take a shot and you miss. When you hit a wall, bounce, don't splatter. You know, failure is not going to be fatal in this organization. Learn from it and do it better the next time. And when you create that culture, you can have some breakthroughs.
I love what somebody attributed, I think, to Thomas Edison. And this may be paraphrasing what he said, but the way I like to think of it is, failure is successfully identifying what doesn't work.
Oh, and he was right on with that, and he
Isn't
did a great job of that, you know. It's well put. And, you know, I think what you also have to do, Jim, is you have to look back, again, to the very basics, and it's the first thing we talk about in the book. If you're not bringing in people to begin with who have some drive, who have energy, who have character, who have the right attitude, who have some talent for what they're doing, then I don't care how many meetings you hold. I don't care how many classes you send them to. You know, I don't care how many skills and how much knowledge you can teach them. If they don't have the drive and the talent and the attitude, they're not going to be able to apply it.
That's exactly right.
You've got to get people who are bringing it to the table.
We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, folks, we're going to turn this mirror around and focus it on the decision makers, the owners, the managers. Let's make this stick this needle in us a little bit right after these messages with our good friend Dave Anderson. It's the second edition, revised and expanded, of Up Your Business by Dave Anderson. Tintel, stay with us.
Break the silence.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Dave Anderson, the author of the revised and expanded second edition of Up Your Business. And folks, be sure to check that out when you get a chance at your local bookstore, wherever books are sold, and also your website, Dave. Give it to us again, please.
Yes, it's learntolead.com. And if you go to the website, learntolead.com, there are links to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Walmart.com where you can compare prices on this book as well.
Right.
So it makes it very easy.
What is the essence of the new stuff that's in the book?
Well, you know, on the 7 steps, Jim, I added expanded strategies in each chapter. So you go to the back of the chapter, and it says further up your business. For instance, on my first chapter, which was about interviewing and recruiting and hiring, I added a number of interview strategies. In my chapter on how to overcome the six temptations of successful organizations, which was one of the most popular chapters, I added more information on the complacency, how to identify it, how to overcome it. And then I also added an eighth chapter, which is to close the gap between knowing and doing, because a lot of times we know what to do, we don't do it, and it encourages us to follow through. And there's you know, additional information that I didn't have in the first book,
right,
like how to get new hires off to a great start, you know.
Good stuff, folks, and check it out there and Up Your Business, the second edition. By the way, folks, my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Dave has deposited a number of interviews with us over the years, and you can find them there as well. But check out my website and see what Dave has also offered us. And don't forget, when you're on my site, check out my blog and subscribe to my newsletter. Dave, let's turn this mirror around in the time we have left. And focus on ourselves. What are some things that we can do as managers, as owners, to improve the business? What could we work on for ourselves?
Improve yourself first. You know, to improve your business, you have got to keep working on yourself. I see so many managers that work hard on the job. They're not upgrading their skills. They're not learning more about people skills. They're not learning more about their business as a whole. They're not learning how to become better leaders. And sometimes we take our success as a permission slip to stop learning. And the fact is, the business will get better when you get better. So you need to put yourself on an intense personal growth program, and just like you would an exercise regimen, and you stay with it. I mean, sometimes we say, why isn't my team getting better? Well, because we're not.
Why is
my business getting better? Because we're not.
I love the story about Cato, who was the Roman politician and philosopher, mm-hmm. and at 84, he started learning how to speak Greek, how to read
Greek. Isn't that great?
At 84, and somebody said, why are you doing this at your age? He said, it's the youngest age I have.
Isn't that great? Yeah, that's so true. Well, you know, a lot of people think growth is automatic, Jim. They think that if I show up, I'm just going to grow. But just because you show doesn't mean you grow. Now, growth isn't automatic. Death is. I mean, the mortality rate for human beings since the beginning of time is about 100%, so you can count on that. But you can't count on growth. You have to really seek it out, and that changes everything. I see when leaders start learning again and upgrading their skills, they get energized, they get passionate, they're more relevant, they're bringing something fresh to the table, and they can energize their people. I really think if you were going to pick one thing to go back and do, start working harder on yourself. Read the books, listen to the tapes, the CDs, get on your website, go to seminars, do everything you can to improve. Don't get outgrown. Don't let the business outgrow you. Don't let your competitors outgrow you.
There was a time, Dave, when I was coming up as a young pup, when, you know, if you learn something today, it would be pretty valuable for you 3, maybe even 5 years from now.
Mm.
In my very, very early days, maybe you could even go 10 years like that.
Right.
Today, whatever you learn today might be valid for about 60 days.
You better keep up. That's right.
An internet year today, in a year being a generation of a product or whatever, a strategy or whatever, an internet year that today they're defining as 90 days.
Wow, that's very, I think that's just right on.
It's frightening though, isn't it?
It is frightening.
But it tells you that you got to have your tennis shoes on, don't you?
Well, you better get up ready to run. And again, take some time away from working in your business to work on it and to work on you. And then it makes it easier to work in it. I see a lot of leaders that have gotten lazy in their learning.
Mm-hmm.
And they can still tell you who got kicked off of American Idol and who's left, you know, how many cockroaches they ate on Fear Factor, but they're not. So it's not a matter of not having time to get better. They just choose to do something else with their time.
If not watching American Idol and Fear Factor make you a better manager, I ought to be a really good one. Because I have no idea what happened in any of those things. I have no time for this. Hey, Dave, give us your website again, please.
Yes, it's learntolead, just spell it out like it sounds, .com, learntolead.com.
And the second edition of Up Your Business is available right now wherever books are sold and at his website. Thanks, Dave, for being here. As always, good job.
Thank you, Jim. Talk to you again.
See you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.